Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Welcome to episode 39 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we are going to be talking about puzzle caches. We have a guest on the show tonight, but we will introduce him a little bit later. I want to tell everybody we are live, and you can call in our show 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. We have show notes. They can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. And our voicemail number, if you want to leave a message when we're not live, is 206-350-3GPS. So here's what happened this week for me. I noticed this week that this show, as far as the talk cast goes, the talk shoe, is over a year old. Anyways. I started on November 30th. I published my first show, which was kind of just that really test, kind of see how this is going to work. And I didn't do anything with it really till March 5th. So I guess I still have a little while to go before the real one-year birthday of this podcast, but I started and did a test on the first, so that's where I noticed this week. So I still have noticed, though, that we've come a long way from the first days, and we still have a long way to go. There's still a lot of stuff I'd like to change as far as our quality and stuff like that goes, but I mean, we have come a long way since those first days when I was just me talking on the phone to myself. The reason, you guys are the reason that we do this show. I want to thank you for your support, whether it be financially or showing up every Tuesday live, or even just subscribing and getting the word out. We appreciate all you do to support this podcast, everybody. Montu is my co-host again this week. Montu, how are you doing?
Pretty good. And speaking of one-year anniversaries, I saw that Cache Maniacs will be hitting their one-year milestone on January of 2008. And you're right, Andy, this show and Cache Maniacs have both come a long way. I've listened to both the shows from both episode ones from both of you, and both have been great fun to expand my geocaching knowledge with. And since we're talking about announcements, I have one as well. On December 30th of 2007, this month, the second annual Starkey Park Geo event and New Year's Eve send-off, GC17VY3, will be held here in Newport Richey, Florida. This is a meet and greet and eat event with a potluck lunch and then plenty of caching afterwards. Well, now that we have the nostalgia all over with, how about we get on with those puzzles? I'd love to learn how to make a great puzzle cache.
All right, let's do that. I want to welcome to our show today, Pacholik. Like I said last week, Pacholik, I consider a puzzle cache master. welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I guess my first question is, I've solved a few puzzles myself, but usually I end up having to get help from somebody like yourself or someone who I know is good at them. So for you, what's the first thing that you do when you see a puzzle cache page?
The first thing I do is look at the title, and usually that will give it away, sometimes a little bit of a hint in it. Then what I do is print out the page, because sometimes there's like white text on it or something you just don't see, and that can give something away right off the bat. And then the third thing is I look at the source code. So I just right-click on the page, make sure there's not any graphic on it, right-click and then say view source code, and look down past the short description, long description. You can do a find in, let's say, Notepad or whatever when you're looking at the source code, and search in there, because a lot of times things are hidden within the source code as well. So those are the top three things I look for. And then if I can't see anything, you know, I'll look around and stuff, then I'll have to start doing some research on like Google or some other sites like that.
Okay, so back to the whole issue with the source code. How do you go about like for those of us who aren't familiar with HTML, how do you go about like, what do you look for in the source code? Like, what? How do you know?
Well, what you want to do is you want to go, if you right-click on the page, it could be Mac or PC. You can do it Firefox or Internet Explorer. You say view source code. And what you're going to search for, if you do a find or search on the page and the source code, you want to look for the section that says short description, because that's where somebody can hide stuff in the HTML. So what you're going to find in there, a lot of times what will happen is you'll see a dash and then a greater than sign, which is a comment. And you can hide comments within the code that don't show up on the page. So some people like to hide stuff, and that's where they usually hide stuff in there. Not all the time, but that's a big section of that.
Okay, so from there, like, let's say you couldn't find anything as far as clues in the title or clues in hidden or printed out in white text. Where would you go from there? Like you said, Google. What would you do?
Well, let's say it's a symbol. There's a bunch of sites that you can actually type in, like a symbol search, and also like font search and stuff like that. I would go ahead and look for the symbol search, and then actually you can a good example is like there was one of flags I saw before, and there's actually a site that's like flags.com, and you can search and narrow it down. So what you need to do is it will ask you like what colors are there on there, how many colors are there, if there's a certain symbol on it, and then you can narrow that down. Same thing with symbols. Also languages, the same type of thing. There's a website that Xerox has. You can do like, I think, language check. And actually put the language in there, and it will usually tell you what the language is. And from there, you can also do research about, let's say, different languages or different dialects of the language as well.
Okay. I want to remind everyone, too, that we are, like I said, we are live. And the people who are on the phone, if you have a question for Pachola, go ahead and push the request to talk in the top of your talk show live, and we'll get you in the queue if you have a question. I see that there's a person from California on the phone. I will unmute them real quick and see if they have a question. Hi, welcome from California. Do you have a question for Petrolik?
I don't have a question. This is Sunny over here.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Hey. No, I was just kind of listening in over here. I thought I'd drop by and say hi.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. All right, so from there... like, what else, like, how long does it normally take you to solve a puzzle? Like, when you first see a puzzle cache that's published, how long does it take?
It can take anywhere from 30 seconds to days. I mean, sometimes I'll look at them and I'll get them immediately, and because it's something I've seen before. It could be like a World War II cipher. Certain ciphers that you recognize, you can just, like, a Fair Play cipher, some of these other ones. I've got a couple of code books. There's one called Code Book. I forget who the author was, but there's a couple different ones that I've actually just read for fun to see what the different type of ciphers are and just get used to them. So you look at it on the page and go, I know what that is. And then what the key is sometimes is you have to find the key you need to actually break that cipher. So a lot of times it's just recognizing it right away. A few of them can take a long time because you're sitting there looking at it and you have to do research on it and figure out, okay, I got a part of it. Now, and then sometimes I'll get some of my friends, because in my area we got a couple other guys that do puzzles as well. And we'll throw things back and forth and say, do you think it's this, or what do you think it is? But a lot of times it's pretty quick on some of the stuff.
Okay. Monty Ryder, do you have any questions for Pachulik right now?
Not yet. This is definitely a learning experience for me today.
Yeah, I just have fun looking at the puzzles as well. Even if I'm not going to, like I said, if I'm not going to go out and find the puzzle, let's say it could be in another country, I just do them just for the fun of it to see if I can do it.
I've actually myself have been doing that recently. It's funny, I can usually get them fairly quick, but then I think I talked about it on a previous show. There's a puzzle cache published around here, and then it took me like a week and a half to even get, and I had to have a lot of help for that. So it's kind of funny, the ones that I'll never get, I seem to find the solution for them really easy, but then when they're around here, it's the ones that I can never seem to solve.
Yeah, the thing is, the big thing is print it out, and if you don't get it right away, just print it out. I'll leave it on the couch, and I'll take it with me to work, and I'll sit there and think about it. And sometimes, you know, you'll dream about it, and all of a sudden you got an answer. I don't know. Subconscious works on it. It's kind of strange, but all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, I got it. I've done that. Like, I get up in the 2 in the morning, and I'm like, I know how to solve this. Sit there and figure it out. Yep, I got it. It's just kind of weird because you just keep thinking about it over and over and over again.
Now, I know that there are some tools out there, depending on your browser, or that have some sort of thing. Do you use any of those browser type tools?
No, the only one I've used, and you can download it because you can run it on anything for Java. It's called CipherClerk, and it's hosted on AOL, and it's a CipherClerk. If you do a search on Google, and you can either run it on the website or you can go ahead and download it and run it on anything, Mac, PC, anything like that with Java. And it allows you to – it doesn't help you break anything because you still have to know the keys and stuff that you're going to be using mm-hmm. while you're using the stuff. But it's a really good program for enciphering and deciphering. There's a couple websites I don't give out to anybody because they're just – if I want to make puzzles with them, I don't want my friends to know that I have the site. And I know I've given it to a few people, but very few people. Especially I'm not going to give it to anybody in my area that I'm going to make a puzzle based on those. So.
Yeah. I know that there are a few tools. I use a tool for Firefox. It's called LeetKey. I don't know if you've ever used that.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
I tend to go and use the things that are in there first, but a lot of times, especially if they're good puzzles, they're not going to be in that one. So now, let's move to the subject as far as like placing. And like you said, I don't want to ask you for too much of your magic because, you know, just like a magician, magicians don't like giving out their magic either. But let's just, in general, like when you're trying to think of a good puzzle, how do you go about doing that? Like, what's your first thing there?
Well, one of the things, the very first thing before I even think of a puzzle is I have to find a location so I have the coordinates I need. Because based on the coordinates is how I'm going to make the puzzle. Because if I got a location that or a puzzle I'm going to make that doesn't have a 9 in it or I can't do a 0 or something, then I can't place it at that location. So first of all, I've got to get the coordinates and then base the puzzle on the coordinates that I can create it with. So, and also I like to try, if the puzzle is going to be based on a theme, I like to have it near the area where it's going to be. So it kind of all ties together on that as well.
Now, let's see, how do you go about picking your different, like, I know that there's a lot of different ways to encrypt things. Do you have a tendency to pick, like, one and use it a couple times, or do you go back and forth as far as that goes? Like, do you use more than one encryption technique in a puzzle? Sometimes I throw them harder, or do you, like, just always, like, I guess, tell us a little bit more about that.
No, what I do is a few of them I've just done, so they're real basic ones, which are real easy. But if I want to get devious on some of them, I try not to make it too hard and so that people actually can solve it. Because there's like one that's back in Virginia someplace that is like almost impossible. It hadn't been found for 3 years. And it's like, what's the fun of not being able to solve the puzzle, you know, if it's sitting out there for that long? But one of them that I made up, which was based on what's called the rail fence cipher. And what that one is, it's kind of like you're putting letters on a fence, so it goes up and down on it. And what I did when I created that puzzle, I had the location, and then what I did was I put the text on it, and then what I did was put a picture of a railroad tie, and then below it I put a fence. So I sort of gave it away. So if you look at it, it's like, oh, that's a rail fence, if you can figure that part out. But I put it kind of obvious. I like to try to make them obvious. I don't try to get too evil on them. A lot of guys in my neighborhood will know, so I try to change them up, try to do something different. So I'll come up with something, and a lot of times I'll be driving someplace, and all of a sudden come up with an idea, and then go home and write it on the whiteboard and say, okay, this is what I'm going to base a puzzle on. Sometimes you go and try to figure it out, I'm like, well, that's not going to work. That's going to be, you know, I know how to do it, but other people aren't going to think that way. And that's the biggest thing is, how are people going to think? They're not always going to think the way you think. So.
All right. Let's open up the line, see if we have any more questions. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line, guys. If you guys have any questions right now, go ahead and just ask them to Pacholik. Everyone should be unmuted right now.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Hello. Good.
All right.
Now, and this is just something, I'll put a link to this in the show notes, too. I've used I was trying to solve one of the puzzles, and I forget who puts it out. Oh, MSC Rep, podcaster listener. He actually uses the Phillips cipher for it, and links to this whole big code book on, I think it's cipher.com. I'll have to put a link in our show notes. But I use that. I'm waiting till the summer. I'm going to place one using the same cipher because that's a pretty tricky cipher. You have to actually – I like to place things that are – you're going to have to go out there and actually manually solve as opposed to just being able to do them with a tool online. Java Freak has asked that you said you mentioned some crypto books for fun. What, if any, titles do you recommend?
There's one called The Code Book. If you go onto Amazon, in fact, let me look it up real quick while we're talking here. See here. There was also another thing called, God, what was it? It was about 13 different things that were hidden all over the world. This guy had set up, I think it was like $13 million worth of jewels that he hidden all over the place. And he came out with a companion book that told you how to look for certain key things in puzzles and pictures and how to solve certain puzzles and stuff. Let me find this other one here. Looking it up now. Yeah, a lot of times it's just, you know, I'll look at, I'll just come up with some sort of crazy thing. Like one I'm going to come up with, I know there's a few people from, looks like Orange County here as well listening, but I might give it away. But I came up with one that I looked at. There's something called, I was going to call it McDonald's Hash Browns, but you can't use commercial names in the name of it. So I was going to call it Michael Douglas's Five Star Hash Browns. And it was going to be a little story. In fact, I'm still going to do it. But it's going to basically be a story of him and Catherine Zeta-Jones just made up over the recipe. And then have the recipe on the page, but none of the numbers have anything to do with it. And at the very bottom, it's going to have, it says he got a patent on these because they're, you know, five star. And if you look at the title of it, there's an encryption that you can use, which is checksums to programs, called MD5. And so Michael Douglas's Five Star Hash Browns is where I came up with it. So on the bottom, if you decrypt the MD5, there's the coordinates. So that one's just based on, I mean, you can sit there and look at all sorts of things and you look at the recipe, and that has nothing to do with it. You know, a lot of times people will put stuff on the page that will just trip you up. So you're going to have to put a, on that one, I wouldn't even put a, I recommend checkers to verify coordinates, but on that one, I wouldn't put it on there. Because if once you get it, you know you got it. Because some people have said, why don't you put a checker? It's like, well, if you got it right, you know you got it. So you don't have to put a checker on there. So, I mean, I'm just come up with these weird things like, okay, then actually it's putting it out and doing it is the big thing. So let me find here. It's called, let's see, I think it's just called The Code Book.
Now, here's a question that I just thought of. As far as other types of puzzles, like I've seen some that are like, obviously, pictures, and I've like, you need other tools or other information for. Have you ever seen any of those like that that aren't necessarily just encrypted in any way?
Yeah. What people have done is you can do something. This is not giving anything away on how to solve anything. If you have PaintShop Pro or any of these other programs such as Photoshop and stuff, is the metadata. You can actually put information such as GPS coordinates, and a lot of the new cameras are actually embedded in what's called the EXIF data, which you can put text in there. And it's mainly for tagging photographs and stuff, but you can put GPS coordinates. There's actually a GPS tag in there if your camera uses it. And people put text in there. And you can hide it in that, or you can hide it in the metadata of the actual picture itself, and you can open it up with Notepad or TextPad or something like that and open it up and just start scanning through it. And you'd be amazed what you can find in some of this stuff.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use Photoshop all the time, but obviously not everybody's going to want to go out and spend money on Photoshop if they, you know, all they want to do is puzzles and put the metadata inside and things like that. There's a free open source product that's almost like Photoshop called GIMP that would probably do the same thing.
Yeah, GIMP is really cool because it works on Mac, it works on Linux, and it works on Windows. It works on all the platforms. And
right.
It looks a lot like Photoshop. In fact, there's some things in GIMP that aren't even on Photoshop yet because there's always people adding plugins and stuff for it. So, okay, I found the book. It's called The Code Book. It's called The Science of Secrecy from Ancient Egypt to Quantum Cryptography. And this is the one, I think Sonny's talked about this before too. This is the one from Simon, I think you say his name is Singh, S-I-N-G-H.
Mm.
And he's got another one, How to Make It, Break It, Hack It, and Crack It, which it looks like it's brand new. And he actually had a contest in the book as well. But that one has a history of all the different ones from the very first cipher, and they got the Caesar cipher and a whole bunch of different ones. They give you a good idea of, you know, when you look at it, you go into the book and you look at one online, you're like, hey, I know what that is. But, of course, there's always people that come up with new ideas for ones. There's one in San Diego, which is really cool, based on the Bacon cipher. which I didn't even know even existed. And it's almost like a binary type system that Sir Francis Bacon had made up. So there's been ciphers all the way back, all over the place. And I think it's team, is it Adelis out there, that comes up with some really crazy puzzles in San Diego as well.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of puzzles, I haven't checked to see if Xbunk X, at one point you were trying to solve that one that Child of Adam had posted onto our forums.
Yeah, I think originally had posted the actual puzzle, and he solved it. But then I did get a chance to solve it.
You did or did not get a chance?
I did.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's amazing that sort of aha moment once you kind of see that whatever it is or realize or, you know, come to the realization of what the cipher is, and then everything else falls into place.
Yeah, and on that one too, like, there was stuff that I saw that I thought would go with the puzzle and then realized that it either didn't or wasn't quite how I thought it would.
Exactly.
And then when I finally got it, yeah, it was like, whoa, gotcha, got it.
Well, that one still has me stumped because I'm still looking at it and I still haven't figured it out.
Well, I can tell you something. There was something that another listener had posted on there that actually threw me off on a red herring trail in the wrong direction. And once you start thinking that way, sometimes it's a little hard to kind of undo your thinking to kind of look in another direction. But I think it was Squam Loon who might have posted something that led me in the wrong direction at first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he led me in the wrong direction too.
Yeah, the aha moment. I'd love to create a puzzle and call it the aha moment.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows that moment. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. It just clicked. You're like, I was looking at all this long. And a lot of times, it's the easiest puzzles that are hardest. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
You overthink them.
Right. Exactly.
The cache that we're talking about, guys, is called How About Another Puzzle Cache.
That's
and
it.
I will post the link. I'll post the link to it in our show notes.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I think for our show that's it. Unless anyone else does, anyone else have any questions or comments for Pacholik? All right, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap up tonight. I'm reminding everyone again, we are always live every Tuesday except for Christmas. I'm gonna publish a show, but it'll be a recorded show, and so. That'll be recorded, not live. But we do this every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love to have you guys here. You guys are the reason that we do this show. And so go ahead and check out our show notes, www.geocachingpodcast.info. And if you guys have any questions, either for Pacholik, if you're not listening live, go ahead and you can either email me at xpunkx@geocachingpodcast.info or go ahead and hit our voicemail number up, 206-350-3GPS, and leave a voicemail there for us, and I will try to get your question answered, and we can maybe go ahead and do that on the next show. So thanks, guys, for listening, and I'm glad you guys joined us this week. Have a good week. Go get your caches, and try to stay warm if you're not in California. That's definitely not cold like it is the rest of the place.
Or Florida.
Or Florida.
Oh, no, it's cold here in California.
Anyways, thanks, guys, for joining us on our show tonight.
All right.
Have a good week.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.